Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Good morning, Northside. How are we? All dry? Okay, everybody shake it off when you come in. Okay, good. I came in my rain boots this morning. I told my small group this week that we were talking about lethal language, and they all did said they weren't going to show up. So we'll see how this goes. My intro's a little shaky here. So Friedrich Nietzsche, stick with me, said it this way. He said, "All I need is a sheet of paper and something to write with, and I can turn the world upside down." Some would say that he may have succeeded in that. Mark Twain, that's right, write this down. Friedrich Nietzsche, Mark Twain. Probably don't hear these back-to-back very often. But he said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on." A lot of famous people have said a lot of interesting things about the power of our words, about the way that we speak, truth versus lie, the power of our words. Your mother, at some point in your life, probably said to you this. You fill in the rest of the saying. If you can't say something nice... Okay, so we've been non-speech for a long time, right? That's where I just had to shut my mouth, right? She's got me there, right? Here's another one we tell our kids. Maybe you've used this one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Have you ever thought about that? Let's think about that for just a second. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's not really good advice. I can think specifically of quite a few words, a handful of words, maybe a book full of words that have hurt me in ways that maybe sticks and stones never could have. You know, Craig Groeschel would say it this way. Maybe we should say it. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can leave a more lasting impact for the good or for the bad. Maybe you can think of some words that have indeed hurt you. Words like, "Sorry, you weren't invited." Or you didn't get the job. Or, "I want a divorce. I want the kids." Or, "You won't be able to have kids." Or, "The doctor says things like that." Or, "It's cancer. It's a tumor. It's inoperable." See, words have power. But you'll never be able to have kids. Well, why can't you be more like your brother or your sister? Or the even worse one, you're exactly like your father. Words can hurt, can't they, guys? Sticks and stones can bruise your body for a few days, but words can scar your soul for a lifetime. It's a quote from Craig Groeschel. The pain that words cause leave deeper scars and deeper bruises than any stick or stone could ever bring. But the opposite is also true. Words can bring life. Words can bring hope. Words can bring encouragement. The Bible recognizes the power of the words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life. This is the teeter-totter that we weigh on when we say a word. Death and life are in the power of tongue. Every word that you say will either bring life or it will take life. Every time you open your mouth, you have an opportunity to speak poison or to speak life into someone. And the same is true when you open your ears to hear words. You will either hear what we could call life-giving words or grave-digging words. You can put those down in your bulletin. Life-giving words or grave-digging words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. As we hit week number 3 in our soul detox series, we're talking about living clean lives in a contaminated world. I want to challenge us to get rid of the grave-digging words. To get rid of the death-wishing words. As we listen to and the words that we speak that poison our souls, I want to challenge us to replace them with life-giving words. With God-honoring speech. I want you to replace lies with truth. Gossip with encouragement. Filth with holiness. Many of you are probably already thinking, I can hear like the minds of the men in the room going, "All right, I got to cuss less. I got to tell my kids I love them more. We got to take communion. We got to get out of here, right? There's Packers on today or whatever. I guess there's some football teams left, right? Some of you ladies in the room, you may be thinking this. I'm okay with changing everything else in my life. You know, like there's just one part of my life. There's that one part of my life that I just really can't control. Maybe this meme would describe you here. I've got a good heart, but this mouth, maybe that's you. That's the one part you're just like, that's the one thing I don't think I'm going to get control on. I want to start by just pointing out the obvious that a lot of times we think that changing our lives or that detoxing our lives from lethal language or septic thoughts or whatever throughout this series, a lot of times you're going to be tempted just to think that it's all about behavior modification. I've just got to flip a switch here and flip a switch here. I got to make sure I don't say these words here. I got to make sure I do the right things here and that. It's just behavior modification. And while that is a product of soul detox, it doesn't start there. We talk about lethal language today. It doesn't start with just changing the words that you say. It actually starts with what you let into your heart. Jesus said it this way. He said that what comes out of your mouth is just brimming over from what your heart is already full of. And if that's the case, it really doesn't start with the words that we say. It starts with the words that we allow into our lives. And so we're going to go three phases through lethal language detox this morning. And here's the first one. It may not be what you think it is. You have to hear what God says about you. You have to hear what God says about you. And you may not think that that's how you get rid of lethal language. But again, garbage in, garbage out. Maybe your parents have said that to you as well. Garbage in, garbage out. If you can't first hear for yourself the words that God has said to you, you'll never be able to speak life into someone else. This is where it all starts. One of the worst starts to any conversation in high school is when somebody can come up to you and say, "Hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about you?" Have you ever been part of those conversations? Maybe in the office, you say, "Hey, did you hear what they said about you?" You get an email, you guess what they said about you. When someone come up to me in high school, "Did you hear what Brian said about me?" And Brian didn't ever say any good stuff about anybody. So I was like, this is a bad start to a conversation. You don't ever want to start there. "Did you hear what Brian said about you?" It's like, oh, great. Because Brian only spoke in one language. And they were what we call in Houston, fighting words, right? Okay. And I didn't want to fight Brian because Brian... Brian was a lot bigger than me. Brian would whoop me, as we say in Houston, okay? So that's the worst way you could start any conversation, but that's how I want to start here this morning. Have you heard what God has said about you? Have you heard the words that God has been saying about you? Maybe you think it's behind your back because you haven't heard it audibly, a voice out of the sky. Maybe you haven't heard it in that way, but that's where I want to start today. Did you hear what he said about you? This is going to be pretty quick. But I'm going to bring them up here on the screen. There's quite a few of them, and this is just a tip of the iceberg. Did you know that God called you his child? That God said that you are his friend. You are a whole new person with a whole new life. That your body is the place where the Spirit of God dwells. You are in his incredible work of art. You are totally and completely forgiven. Did you hear what he said about you? There's more. You are created in his likeness and in his image. You are spiritually alive in him. You are a citizen of heaven. Did you hear? That you are God's messenger to the world. You are called his disciple maker. Just a few more. Did you hear what he said about you? You are the salt and the season that he has seasoned the earth with. You are the light of the world. And you are greatly, 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 infinity, greatly loved. Did you hear what he said about you? Some of you in this room are already thinking, you're like, yeah, God may call me that, but that's not really who I am. That's not really how I act. But you see, when you are a believer in Jesus, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, see, God calls you these things not because you deserve it or because you've earned it, but he calls you these things because in Jesus and through Jesus, they're true. They're true. All of these things are true. Now, the second half of that is learning how to live according to what he's called you to. That's a whole nother series for another time. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 20, says it this way. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. That word thought there, whoever gives thought to the word. It's not just that you hear the words that God has said to you, but you give thought to them. You know that they're about you. It's not just cluttered noise, but you know that they're yours. When you give your mind over to God's words and you hear them, you discover how good our God really, really is. Even though we may not act like it. Even though we struggle to see ourselves in that way. Even though we don't feel worthy, God still kneels down next to us and says, "You are my child. You are loved. You are my messenger. Listen to the words about you. Did you hear what he said about you?" Being in church regularly is a really good way to hear the words. I promise you that you come to this church weekly, you're going to hear God's word to you. Okay? We won't really have any people left on staff if we decide that this is going away. So not just coming to church. Not just coming to church and having somebody else here. Grab a Bible. He wrote a love letter to you. Grab it. Dig in here. Did you see what he said about you? For many, it's not an issue of listening, though. It's not an issue of knowing that God has said. Some of you have grown up in church your whole life, and you've heard what God has said about you. You've seen a lot of those verses. A lot of those maybe you even have memorized or written on a sticky note somewhere, or put on the front of your Bible or something like that. You've got some kind of memoir. You're like, "Yeah, I remember that verse. I remember that God said that." It's not an issue of listening. For some of us, it's an issue of filtering. We hear what God says, but it gets washed out by all the other voices that we're listening to. There always seems to be a louder voice than the voice of God. You feel like you can't hear the still small whisper of God in one ear because you've got all of the screams and the shouts of the world in the other ear. So we have to elevate God's voice above all else. So it's not just about hearing what God has said about you. It's not just, did you hear what he said about you? Here's the second phase, detox from lethal language. You have to believe what God says about you. You have to believe it. You have to elevate it and believe it above all those other noises in your life. We have all these noises competing to be heard. Most of them are trying to drown out the voice of God. It seems every day that there's something else that takes up more time and more space in our lives that used to be God time and God space. And why is it that always is the first voice to get drowned out? It all comes down to which voices you choose to believe. Which ones are you going to elevate above all others? There are some voices that we let drown out his voice that are louder than others. And I've picked out just a few, and I'm going to come over to my props over here. I'm going to come over here, and we're just going to do a few of the voices. I've got four of them, and you may have some others. You may identify some of them. You got to believe that God's voices are louder. The first one we're talking about is the me voice, and I'm just, of course, the marker doesn't work. That's why that's there. Me, okay? I picked really small words because if you ask my Sunday school class, that's the longest word I can spell. So, me, the me voice, okay? You guys have heard the me voice. I'm looking out for myself. You know, I don't care who I hurt. I don't care if I have to lie, cheat, steal. The voice tells me that I'm number one and I need to do everything that I can to keep myself, to keep me in that number one spot. So I don't use my money to bless people. Actually, I see my money as a blessing to use people. I see this voice. I hear this voice. The me voice is very, very loud in our culture. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, it doesn't take long to look. You just look at social media and you can go, for hours. And what is it? It's just post about me, 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 me. And if I don't agree with it, unfollow. Me, me, me. Second voice that is so prevalent in our world today, I'll flip over. It is the not me voice, okay? So, me. Okay? That's just the opposite. That's where you think this voice tells you that you're not worthy, you're not capable, you're not ready. God could never forgive me after what I've done. No one will ever love me. No one could ever think that way of me. Those words that God said, that's not me. There's no way. No one will ever marry me. I'll always be alone. I'm worthless. I'm picked last. I'm not picked at all. There's no sense in even trying. Of course, they got that promotion. I would never be considered for something like that. Of course, they can have that baby when we've been trying for so long. Of course, she's on stage singing the solo. Of course. Not me. Never me. The me voice is just as prevalent. It's just as loud in our culture. And it's just as dangerous. The third one is the is the career-minded voice. And I'm not even going to try to spell career, so I'm going to draw a briefcase. Okay? How about that? Yeah. This is a very Blues Clues way of going about things here. So, and we'll put a dollar sign on the briefcase because I can spell that, okay? The career-minded voice. That tells you, church on the weekends, if I can get off, if I can make the time, you know, small groups a priority, if the schedule works out, serving in a ministry, as long as it's not our busy season. This voice tells us that going to church, connecting with other people, connecting to Christ and one another, all the things that we're all about here at Northside, that all of that can happen, but it's usually a side dish. And it's usually a side dish that's served pretty cold and pretty late. You know, the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and he had a briefcase full of money. He had a briefcase full of ideas of what he thought it meant to be saved. And he asked Jesus, what does it take? What does it take to have eternal life? I've done all the right things. I did the Sunday school stuff. I've really made myself, you know, I've got entrepreneurship going on here. I've got a business. I'm doing well. Rich, young, ruler. Some of the ladies in the room are like, sign me up, right? I'll take that. And Jesus said to him what? He said, there's one thing that you lack. There's one thing that you lack. It wasn't just one thing he could take out of his briefcase. The one thing that he lacked was that he loved his briefcase more than he could ever love Jesus. So Jesus told him, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And what did he do? He walked away. This voice that screams louder in our life, this voice is more and more prevalent and it's more and more dangerous. And then I've got a fourth one. It's really kind of just a grab bag in case I missed you, you know. This is what I'll call the anything but obedience voice. Anything but obedience. We get pretty creative with this one. We will find anything and everything just in case, you know, there's something that pops up in our life. You know, this was Jonah. This was Jonah. Jonah was called by God and he said, go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He didn't even care what boat he was getting on, right? He didn't check the weather forecast. He didn't check. He's like, is this boat going to Nineveh? They said, no, we're actually going the opposite. He said, I'll take a ticket. One way. This is anything but obedience. I'm going to run the opposite direction of wherever God wants me to go. This is just, as long as it's the opposite direction, that's where I want to go. Some of us will listen to any other voice but the voice of God. We have hardened hearts. We've got our running shoes on no matter when God says. So much so, we'll run the opposite direction. There's football games on. That's an excuse to miss church. I'm out of town. I guess I won't tithe this week. You know, we run the opposite direction. You know, kids got sports this time of year. Our life is just crazy, so we'll come back to church in the fall. Anything but the voice of God. Anything but obedience to God. These voices are all screaming at us, all four of these, and you can fill in the blank of your voice. What voice is it that screams at you the most, that pierces your ear the most, that keeps you from hearing the voice of God? How can we make sure that it's God's voice that's getting through? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word from God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. I love that word picture. A shield to those who take refuge. Because it's literally like he's going to shield out the frequencies that you don't need to hear in your ears. If you fill yourself with the word of God, it will eliminate those toxic thoughts, those toxic words, the things coming into your mind. And you'll be able to believe the right thing. You see, when you can move from believing, when you can move to what believe, when you can move, when I can move my mouth, well, give me a second. I don't have a timer up, so you guys are in trouble. Here we go. When you can move to believing what God says about you, it becomes a refuge and a shield against the truth. We like to say it this way. You can determine what is truth. I got a friend down in Katy, Texas, who hashtags all of his tweets with "That's the truth," and he's not like a loud or boisterous guy. But every time I read one of his tweets, I just want to go like, "That's the truth!" Like I can just imagine him saying that because this is just like he'll post a scripture. He's like, "Yes, yes, that's the truth." He said, "You can determine the difference between what is truth and what is trash. What is trash? You see, God's word can help us separate the truth from the trash." It can help us shield the trash. It can help us shield the things out, the truth from the trash. Truth you can hang on to. But what do you do with trash? Do any of you have a hard time calling trash trash? All the wives and their husbands, like, I've got a garage that's just full of junk, okay? And every time I clean out the garage, it doesn't take very long for the garage to get full again of stuff that I just need to throw away. I just need a day to throw stuff away. And it's all junk, but I could say, no, there may be a time when I need those 14 cardboard boxes unbroken down. Like, there may be a time when I need all of those empty soda cans. I may want to do a project with those, you know? Like, we did one of those pallet, you know, headboards for a deal, and I had like pieces of pallet and nails and stuff all over my garage. I have 4 flat tires, all this sort of stuff, just because I wanted to keep it around. What if we want to build another one? We don't even have another bed in the house. And so, like, I just keep trash around to keep trash around. You've seen the show Hoarders, right? You've seen that show, right? You haven't been on the show, have you? Okay, I don't want to offend anybody. But the people in that show, they don't just wake up one morning and go, you know what? I would love to not be able to walk through my house. That would be great. I would love for them to have to, like, you know, tear down my house to get me out of it. Like, that's not really what they start. They just start with believing that this trash is really something you want to keep around. And that happens to us so often. The me voice, you're the center of the universe. that you got to do everything you can to stay on top. Stab backs, use people, stay on top. Well, we know, I mean, if we read the words of God, that's what? Trash, right? We're going to play a game here. I forgot to tell you guys were playing, right? That's trash. We've got 3 more to go. Don't let me down. That's trash. We know that God's word tells us that if you want to be first, you put yourself where? Last. Service and humility are how Jesus ended up on top. The not me voice. We believe all the lies. I'll never be loved. I'll never add up. You'll never be half the man that your father was. You know, we know if we read the words of Scripture, we just went through a whole list. We know that's, you're getting it, okay? Halfway there. We know that's trash. We know that you're loved. That He's for us and not against us. That He's made us worthy. He loves us. He has plans for us. That He knew you before your parents even knew you were coming. That He has a plan for you as He knew you before you were born. The career. You know, you are what you do. Make sure that you're always doing something. And make sure you are what you do. Make sure you stay. This is going to satisfy you. Some other path, some other way. Your pathway to success and happiness is just a bigger bag and more money. We know that's loud and clear. That's trash. Because some of you have been to the top of the ladder, and you know that once you get to the top of the ladder, somebody adds another rung, right? There's always another rung to climb. And we know that from the truth of Scripture, that it's like you store up your treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, we hear the words of Jesus, and we know we can separate the truth from the trash. Finally, you run trying to find anything else that satisfies. Anything but the voice of God. I'm going to listen to any other voice in my life. We'll pick up brand new hobbies, things we would never do in our life. Like, I'm going to try, you know, snowshoeing. Why not? We do it on the weekends, right? Okay. Whew. Sorry, can't go to church. I'm snowshoeing this weekend, right? We pick up hobbies that are just ridiculous. We pick up things, anything. We're like Jonah. We jump on a boat. Don't care where it's going, just as long as it doesn't take me to church. As long as it doesn't take me to God's calling, the hard things to do. We know that's what? Trash. It's garbage. It's like chasing after the wind, Solomon would say. But then Jesus would say this. If you ask for what breaks the heart of God, if you ask for the things that God longs for, if you ask for the callings that God is calling you to, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened. Things get a lot easier when you stop listening to the voices. You see, it's time to take out the garbage. It's time to take out the trash. Now, that's a metaphor, but I really do need somebody to come and take this off the stage. Zach, could you come over and do this? Could you come and get this? Okay. I'll just set it over there. I'll tell your wife you did it. Okay? She could be watching on the feed from the nursery. Yeah, just over by the baptistry. It's fine. That's a metaphor. But we just take out the garbage. We take out the trash. He can do it. Look, ladies, We can do it, right? It's possible. Word of God becomes the filter. Word of God becomes the shield against the lies of this world. Many of us have a handful of scriptures memorized. If we went and pulled the room and I just said, write down your favorite scripture, we'd get a lot of John 3:16s. We'd get a lot of Jeremiah 29:11s. We'd get a lot of 23rd Psalms. And then it'd start to get a little blurry after that. It'd just be like Hezekiah, I don't know, just write a number, right? We'd start to get a little blurry after that. But we've got just a handful of scriptures that a lot of people know. A lot of people know. But we have volumes and hours of the lies that the enemy has told us. And we play them on repeat over and over and over again. Memorized and alphabetized one by one. Something for every situation. It's this garbage that we just keep around that clutters up our lives, that plugs up our ears. It's not that we can't hear what God is saying. It's just overpowered by the rest of the lies that we fill our ears with. It's time to take out the trash. So phase one was we listen to what God says about us. Number two is we believe what God says about us. And then third, this is where it gets really, really fun. You have to share what God says with others. Okay, this is where the no cussing stuff comes in, all right? You have to share what God says with others. You have to give life-giving words. We remove the grave-digging words out of our lives. One of the greatest joys in the life of a Christ follower is when we get to share what we have heard from God with somebody else in a situation that needs it. If you've ever been in that situation, you're just like, that wasn't me. That wasn't words that I came up with. I'm really terrible at bedside manner, stuff like that. You know, like I want to say, like, don't cry stuff. You know, like try to pet people and things. But like when I just let God speak what he's spoken to me, I sit down next to somebody who's hurting. I say, you know, I can't really fathom what you're going through right now. But let me tell you what God told me in a time when I was in a pit of despair. Let me tell you what God told me at a time. And so we listen, we share what God has to say with others. Proverbs 12:18 says it this way. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. We have a choice here. We can jab with swords and say, yeah, this is what I want to say to you. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our communion servers because we're going to roll right into communion. But to conclude, I want to tell you a story that I heard that I just think is amazing. Mark Moore, who was a professor at Ozark Christian College, he's now a minister out at Christ Church of the Valley. He tells a story of a youth minister friend that he knew named Gary. Now, when he tells this story, Gary is nearly 60 years old. He says he's one of the oldest youth ministers that he knows. So, Kevin, if you're watching this, there's hope, okay? 60 years old. And he said the thing about Gary is that Gary was odd. Okay? Gary stood almost 7 feet tall, he said. And he said the weirdest thing about Gary wasn't how tall he was, but that his enormous hands and his enormous head were actually too big for his body. Okay? If you can imagine what we're talking about here, okay? You got a picture of Gary. Gary's built like a 747, okay? He's humongous. He's massive. And he told this story about Gary. He was at church camp one year, and while everybody else was out, and they went to play softball. You've ever been to church camp? There's always like a game of softball that picks up, and nobody brought their gloves and all this sort of stuff. Well, Gary decides he's going to sit on the sidelines. I mean, he's a huge guy, and he could probably dominate in church league softball. But I mean, his knees are shot from days of playing basketball, and you know, like his back's all messed up. I mean, he's just a big kind of a mess of a guy. And so he sits out on the sideline there in foul territory, and he notices a girl also sitting out. She was a junior in high school. And Gary said that she wasn't sitting out because of how tall she was, but she was sitting out because of how wide she was. And Mark Moore says, there's really no polite way to put it. This girl was flat out obese. She was well over 300 pounds. And she was sitting out. So Gary goes over to her and he puts his humongous arms around her back, and he said she was so big he couldn't even get his arm around her back. But he sat there and he looked at her and he just said, I love you. And the girl immediately just started to sob. I mean tears just flowing down her eyes. She gets almost hysterical, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, did I cross a line? Was there something inappropriate? I didn't mean it in that way. I just she said, no, it's not that. She said, no one has ever said that to me. And he said, oh, well, I mean, your parents, surely your parents tell you they love you and you've heard your parents. She says, no, adamantly. She says, absolutely not. I have never heard, I never remember anyone saying those words to me. Fast forward a year later, Gary's back at the same church camp. He gets out of his car. Why do really big guys always drive really little cars? I don't understand that. I don't even know the guy, but I'm sure he was in this tiny car. I don't know why. But he gets out of his car. And as all the other students are getting up, this mother runs up to him and she says, I want you to know you changed my daughter's life. And he's like, who's your daughter? And she points over there and he's looking and he's squinting. He just can't really tell. And then he finally realizes her. She had lost 180 pounds in a year. 180 pounds in a year she had lost. And she said, because of what you said to my daughter. And Gary's remembering. He's like, I didn't say a lot. Because of what you said to my daughter. Fast forward another year. She loses another 80 pounds. She goes to Bible college. She falls in love with Jesus. She falls in love with a man. They fall in love with a mission field. And something that she could have never done at over 300 pounds. She gets on a plane with her husband and her new savior. And they fly across the world to serve people in a foreign country. All because of three life-giving words. One person found one person that needed life-giving words. You know, we have an option. We have an option to throw daggers or to give life. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Can you hear the life-giving words? Do you believe the life-giving words? Are you going to share these life-giving words? You know, as we take communion today, as we take it all together, one of the things that we have to realize is it's not just about life-giving. We want to talk about life-giving words. Think of Jesus hanging on a cross and saying, it is finished. Three life-giving words and a literal life-giving. We celebrate that this morning. When Jesus conquered death in his final words, it is finished. He made a way for us to live. Life-giving words, the literal life-giving of Jesus. Did you hear what he said about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take communion this morning as a body, God, we pray that we could hear and believe and share the life-giving words. God, that you would filter out, take out the garbage of the grave-digging words in our lives. God, change us from the inside out. Change us from our hearts to our mouths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.